the grateful life. How blessed we are to have a grateful life. And how blessed I am to be able to bring the word to you this morning. It is such an honor, and I'm so excited to have the opportunity to start this new series, Grateful. But before we jump into it, let's bow our head and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time together, for these are your people, Lord, and this is your word, and may the connection be made so that your word gets into the heart of your people and changes lives, because if that happens, the world will change. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your holy and precious name, amen. What we're talking about, being grateful. Being grateful in a culture of offense. It seems that we are living in a culture where everybody's getting offended. And I have to wonder, how many of you right now may be offended? How many of you might be offended because on your way here to church, somebody cut you off? Or maybe you went through that McDonald's or Tim Horton line and they didn't give you exactly what you ordered, and how dare they? You know, we get so offended by so many different things nowadays. You may even be offended because somebody didn't say hi to you this morning or the door didn't get opened for you. We have to realize that we are living in a culture where offense seems to be so rapid. It can be, well, let me ask you this. Have any of you ever had a hangnail? Right? You get that hangnail, and it's just, you fixed it, and you got it out, but then you touch it, and that area is still sore. It still hurts, doesn't it? And so you tend to it and you take care of it. Well, I think that sometimes offenses in our life can be like that hangnail. It bugs us. It irritates us. And we think it's no big deal, but it is. It's a big deal. And I think that our spirit can become that way. Our spirit gets offended. And then we start to pull away. You pull away. God's word says that them no big deals, them are like little foxes that spoil the vine. It's them little things. And God doesn't want us to be offended. He wants us to walk. He doesn't want us walking around with any hurts. He doesn't want us going around with any pain in our hearts or in our spirit. When you get offended, it can cause you to start withdrawing from people. It causes you from wanting to go to events. It causes you to maybe start even withdrawing from God. When you have people that love God and people that go to church, sometimes people get offended at each other here. In the body of Christ. And then they turn around and they get offended at God. And they're hurt. They're hurt and they don't understand why maybe God isn't answering their prayers, or why maybe God isn't doing or turning their life to what they need their life to be. But we have to remember, God does never disappoint. Can I get an amen? He is perfect in everything he does. And just because maybe your life didn't turn out the way you wanted it, doesn't mean that God doesn't have a better plan for you if you would just give way to his plan. We're living with this week, the election taking place. There's a lot of people in our government right now that are really offended. And there's a lot of talk about that right now, isn't there? My goodness. But the fact is that we live in the best country in the world. We are blessed. Pastor Tom is in Cuba today speaking to over 150 pastors in a house church. In a house church, because it's illegal for them to meet anywhere else. They have to meet in a private home. And I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to meet here. We have the opportunity to meet in this beautiful building, to worship our Savior. We can gather and worship songs. We don't have to worry about anybody coming in and arresting us, do we? We don't have to worry about being persecuted because we mention the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That takes me to our key scripture, which is Hebrews 12:28. It says, we should be grateful that we were given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in this kingdom, we please God by worshiping him and by showing him great honor and respect. I am so grateful. How grateful I am to know my King and my Savior. How grateful I am to be born in this country where we can gather and worship. If I had to guess, I would say that probably a majority of you had nothing to do with the fact that you're here in this country. There might be a few of you, but if I had to guess, I would say that it is by God's grace and mercy that you were born here. And what an honor it is. But God is shaking things up in our country. And we're living in that time of shaking. And with this election that's taking place on Tuesday, I imagine there's going to be more shaking. There's going to be somebody offended. There's going to be somebody unhappy. There's going to be someone just protesting and upset because their party didn't win. Instead of being grateful for realizing where they are and how blessed they are, we have to understand that we want to focus on an unshakable kingdom. We have to keep our eyes focused on that. See, this world, it's going to be shaken. There's this world is going to face things that are going to shake and rattle it. So, but there is a world that is not shaken. Let us be grateful for the world that can never be shaken. There's a reality that can be shaken, and there's a reality that cannot be shaken. There's a reality that can be upset, and we're going to experience that after Tuesday. Someone's going to be upset. And there's a reality that cannot be upset, and that reality is right there. That reality will never be upset. God is speaking to us today through his word, not to be focused on a shakable reality. Let us not be robbed of the gratefulness of the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. Let us not be robbed of the gratefulness of the kingdom of God. We have to keep our eyes focused on what is truly unshakable. And one thing that's unshakable is grateful faith. Hallelujah. And we can have that grateful faith. No one can take that from us. It cannot be removed from us if we keep anchored on it. And I would like to read Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began and begged to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Have any of you ever been there? Have any of you ever needed help from the Lord? And he answered and he said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Just give me a crumb, Lord. That's what she was saying. Just give me a little crumb. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed the next week. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that, does it? And she was healed the next day. No, that's not true either. She was healed at once. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At once, she was healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love that Jesus said, oh, woman, I don't know, but as a wife, sometimes you hear your husband say to you, oh, woman, oh, woman. But Jesus is telling her right here, you have great faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And as we look at this, there's a couple of other things that just really stood out to me in this scripture. And I'm sure they probably stand out to you too. But first, we have to look at the woman herself. She's a Canaanite woman. So she comes from a district that is a pagan district, a Gentile territory. In other words, she came from the wrong side of the tracks. She didn't come from the right neighborhood. And she knew where she came from. And she knew that going into this, that she was not going to be accepted. She knew that it was going to take all the courage she had in order to walk into that atmosphere that was already set against her. Have any of you ever been there? Have any of you ever had to walk into a room where you knew the people didn't really like you? Maybe they heard about you being a Christian and they knew that you worshiped Jesus and they were already against you. And even though they may have been against her, they didn't say anything negative, but you could feel it in the room. You can feel the animosity and the tension coming. And she, I imagine, had to have a lot of strength in order to move forward with that. I've learned in my lifetime that life causes you to have to walk into atmospheres where maybe you're not necessarily comfortable. It causes you to have to step out in faith, step out and do things that maybe you don't feel comfortable doing, but you know God is telling you to do it. And every now and then, you've got to be prepared to do that and to walk into that atmosphere. Because you know the mission that God has called you on. And it's more important than going by your feelings. It's more important than having to be a little uncomfortable. See, we can't worry about people and what people think. You have to go where you know God is calling you to go. You have to turn to somebody. And you have to say, go, let's go, let's do it. God is telling us. God is telling us to do that. And she was willing to go into that uncomfortable position. She was willing to take that offense. She was willing to do that. Why? Why was she going to do that? Because she needed her daughter to be healed. To be healed. When she was crying out to Jesus, she was saying, help me, Jesus, just help me. What did Jesus do? He did not even answer her a word. Have any of you ever been ignored by anybody? They've clearly heard you, and then they just turn around and ignore you. Our nature is to take offense by that, isn't it? Our nature is to say, well, forget you, Jesus. Forget you, people. I don't need you. But she didn't do that, did she? Instead, she humbled herself and bowed down before Jesus. She was refusing to be less than grateful. I thank you, Lord, for that. She was refusing to let anything stop her or get in her way. James 1:27 tells us, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. and refusing to let the word or the refusing to let the world corrupt you. She was refusing to let that atmosphere of rejection, that atmosphere rob her of her blessing. And she wasn't going to let judging or condemning people stop her. She was seeking after the mercy of her daughter. She was seeking after healing and restoration for her daughter. James 2:13 tells us, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment." Hallelujah. And she was seeking that mercy of Jesus. And she wasn't going to let them people judge her and stop her. She was fighting for what she needed. I'm sure she probably heard all the stories of what Jesus was doing in that area, in the territory that he was going. I'm sure she knew that he could heal her daughter, that there was no one else. It was going to be Jesus who was going to do it. And she wanted something from God. She needed that healing from God. Do any of you need anything from God? Do you need God to move in your life? Do you need God to maybe reach a family member that's lost? Maybe somebody in your life or a coworker that you know needs God. Maybe you need courage to be able to walk into that room where you know they're set against you. Maybe you need courage to wear that cross necklace to let people know that you are a believer of Jesus. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "I want something from God." See, she wasn't going to let anger get in her way or the ugliness of people around her. That ugly and angry people, they can be hateful. But James 1:19-20 tells us, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." See, we may respond to trials and challenges in our life by complaining and becoming angry about them. And getting upset and getting angry about it doesn't help you. This woman could have gotten angry and upset at the disciples, but she didn't focus on that. She was focusing on what Jesus could do, what Jesus could do for her daughter. She knew, this Canaanite woman, she knew everything she tried in the past didn't work for her daughter. I imagine that she probably tried all kinds of things before she went to put herself in that atmosphere where she was going to feel rejected. She probably tried everything else possible, but she knew that Jesus could do it. She had faith that Jesus could do it, and she was going to push through all them obstacles, all them offenses to get at the feet of the only one who could save her daughter. She was looking for Jesus, and she wasn't going to let anybody stop in her way. You know, the world says, "Oh, don't mess with the mama bear." You mess with the mama bear, and you know that you're going to get it. You see them little cubs there, don't go after them because that mama bear is not too far away. And if you get too close, whoo, watch out, watch out. But see, this woman was just like that mama bear. She knew her daughter was possessed. She knew her daughter needed help, and she was pushing through. She didn't care what they said. She didn't care what they did. She was keeping her eyes focused on Jesus, focused on Jesus. "Lord, help my daughter." She was living in a grateful faith and a culture of offenses. That's our number one blank is being grateful brings you into the Lord's presence. Matthew 15:23-25 reads, "But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. 'Tell her to go away,' they said. 'She is bothering us with all this, her begging.' And then Jesus said to the woman, 'I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel.' But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, 'Lord, help me. Lord, help me.' I kind of find it interesting in this scripture that the disciples, their response is, tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all that begging. I don't think she was bugging them at all. I think she was just calling on Jesus. She didn't care about them disciples. She's like, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord, help me. But Christ was on a mission also. His mission was to offer help to his own people. So it was inappropriate for him to bring blessings onto the Gentiles before the blessings fell on Israel. The Bible says that he came unto his own to receive them, and they received him not. This was not the woman's time, and Jesus himself did not even answer her. But that mama bear, that woman, she was not discouraged by that at all. She saw in Jesus that it was her chance for her daughter to be healed. And on her knees, she pleaded, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I've been there, and I'm sure some of you have been there, where you're just pleading to God, help me, Lord, help me. And she was fighting to stay in his presence. She was fighting to stay at his feet. It's kind of like that irritation from that hangnail. You have all these people coming at you, all them people saying, send her away, go away, we don't want her here. And it was irritating her like that hangnail, but she didn't focus on that at all. She focused on Jesus, and she worshiped him. She was wanting to be in that grateful position, for she knew what Jesus could do. She was willing to look past all the offenses, obstacles, and barriers. And she just kept her eyes and her face focused on the unshakable truth of Jesus. She was choosing to be grateful instead of being offended. That's our number two. And it's the best expression of faith, is choosing to be grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Choosing to do that instead of being offended. It's one of the best expressions of faith. Instead of being offended, she was grateful with that opportunity to worship Jesus. See, there's we're living in a time where we have to be politically correct. So we're told, right? We're told we have to do that. Well, it's affecting the schools too. And so this fourth grader, he had to write a report on Thanksgiving and how it came about, the Thanksgiving holiday. And so his report went something like this. The pilgrims came seeking freedom from you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of them, we worship each Sunday, you know where. See, it's so blank. It has no information in there whatsoever. And so it's affecting everyone to try to be so politically correct. But Jesus calls us to not be politically correct, but to be faithful, obedient, and to serve him. Matthew 15:28 tells us, then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. Hallelujah, hallelujah. She had such great faith in the Lord and what he could do for her daughter. See, I have my keys here. I needed to make sure this morning not to forget them, because I have keys to every room in the building, and I'm the only one that has these keys. And some of you have keys, and they go to certain parts of the church building, but my keys are to all the doors, and so it's kind of like a master key. I can go everywhere and anywhere I need to go, and a lot of us can open certain doors, but not all of us can get wherever we need to go because we don't have the key. We've got keys to certain rooms, and we come to church to hear a sermon and receive a truth so we can have a key for a certain room in our Christian life. But we must understand, however, that the key to the Christian life is Jesus Christ. He is the key. He is the only key. And having faith in Jesus gives us the ability to enter into the presence of God and be at Jesus' feet. We have the key already. It's just a matter if you're willing to accept using that key, if you're willing to focus on Jesus and be grateful. Be grateful for what he did on that cross. We need to not get so caught up in being offended and letting that hurt cause us pain. Don't let it hurt your spirit, but move forward and keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Focused on Jesus. Number three is being grateful allows you to look past the offense and receive everything the Lord has for you. Matthew 15, 26, 28 says, "And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus said, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once." Hallelujah. She was called a dog, and she did not let that offend her. She said, "Okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. All right. Maybe that is true. Maybe I am. I know that I'm sinful. I know all these things I did were wrong. And maybe I do deserve to be called that name. But Lord, none of that matters." She wasn't going to let that hurt bother her. She's like, "Lord, I know what you can do. I know, Lord God." She was willing to take that offense and be called a dog because she knew all she needed was a little crumb. All she needed was just a little crumb from Jesus, and everything would be okay. She could move forward and her daughter would be healed. She was willing to put herself in that position in order to receive what the Lord has for her. I wonder, how many of us would be willing to do that? How many of us would be willing to come into the presence of God if we were getting called a dog? Sometimes some of us don't even want to come to church. There's people that don't want to come to church because someone didn't say hi to them. They're offended. They're offended because somebody sat in their chair. They're offended. They keep all these things and allow them to be used to prevent them from coming to Jesus. We have to position ourselves in a place where we can worship Jesus and let everything else fall away. Like a horse with blinders, you keep yourself focused on what Jesus has done for you and what he has for you. Our number four says, being grateful for what Jesus did on the cross allows you to look past your offenses. You have to look past that. Don't let that hurt affect your spirit. Don't let them things, them obstacles, stop you from getting in the presence of God. Hebrews 12:28 says, "We should be grateful that we were given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in this kingdom, we please God by worshiping him and by showing him great honor and respect." We have been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. No matter what this world is going through, no matter what takes place, our eyes are fixed on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That is where we are to be called and keeping our eyes focused on, is to worship Jesus. Don't let anybody rob you of your faith. Don't let anybody take anything from you that is anchored to where your feet should be anchored. You have the ability to give it up, and you have the ability to keep it. What are you choosing? What are you choosing? I'm grateful all of you are here this morning, but I have to wonder, if we just really realize what Jesus did for us. I have to wonder if we're willing to be called a dog, if that would stop us from coming into his presence. I wonder if we would push through to get at the feet of Jesus if we had obstacles blocking us. If we didn't get our parking spot, would we keep driving because somebody parked in our spot? Or were we willing to fight through and come to the altar of Jesus? See, this woman, she knew Jesus was her only hope, and she was wanting so desperately to get at his feet. She knew that he was the Alpha and the Omega. She knew that he was the beginning and the end. She knew that he was the one that could heal and restore. She didn't let anything stop in her way. And I just want to encourage all of you, don't let anything stop in your way. Don't allow it to block you, but go around it. Go around it. And if it means you have to go low, my sisters and brothers, go low. If it means you have to go high, then go high. But move forward closer to the direction that Jesus is calling you to go. Keep your eyes focused on him. And don't worry about other people. Don't let that hangnail hurt affect you. But keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let's all stand. And let's sing that last song, if we can, Jim. And I just want us to focus on Jesus, to worship him and glorify his name. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. There is no other God. He alone, Lord, he alone deserves all the praise and the glory. Let's exalt him and glorify his name. And let's just worship him with this last song.